Jamie, do you use mascara, nail polish, lipstick, or hairspray? Because according to the internet,
no.
Shellac is found in those things as well.
I don't put those in my mouth. So,
Tyler, you're sex safe. Hello and welcome to episode number 525 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox Boy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The Popcast is a show dedicated to the life of idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things that are tame but do not matter.
To find out more about these topical pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast, and we're on Twitter at PopcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking The More You Know.
But before we do that, y'all, it is the most wonderful time of the year. It's time for brand new merch from The Popcast and Faith Adjacent. This is a time-limited offer. We're only taking pre-orders through November 1st, so you do not want to dilly-dally. There are 6 sticker packs with classic designs like Weapons or Fist, and new designs like My BFFs or Podcasters and Flavortown Homeowners Association. We have a newly designed Cozy Overdosey embroidered sweatshirt and beanie. We have a long and short sleeve new design called Educated. Plus, we have a pin pack and a mystery pin option, where 10 of you will receive the Golden Knox pin that gets you a year's membership in our Patreon community as a BFOT. Speaking of BFOTs, they received a code to save 20% off their entire order, so this might be a great time to become a BFOT. We invite you to smooch this collection, marry your favorite item, and kill all other holiday gift ideas. Head to knoxandjamie.com/shop for all the merch.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Goodness.
All right, Jamie, it's time to do The More You Know.
The More You Know.
And as always, with this episode, if you like the style and the rhythm and the flair of it, the flair, the razzle dazzle, etc., things like that, the shiny parts, you can get that every, 3 times a month over at Patreon, where we do is for our BFOTs. The only exception is the other month or the other week where we do an AUA, where you ask us questions and we progressively get more and more, not intoxicated, chemically enhanced.
Is that chemically? You drink and I take gummies.
Yeah.
And Aaron begs us to stop, and we do not.
But you know what I have now?
Oh, she got a gavel.
Paul for the Law at our last live show gave me a freaking gavel.
You know what he gave me? A Knox?
A gavel.
Freaking gavels.
But you know what I'm going to do? Ignore your gavel, and using my gavel.
So you would use the gavel if we were.
I love
like
it.
That.
Order in the car.
It's coming for you.
I do feel like we probably should give Aaron our gavels and make like a super Thor gavel.
Ooh,
so that she can't override us.
Jorner, you know? Meow meow. Jorner. Yeah, I like it.
Exactly.
I like it.
Meow meowner. So if you want to be able to participate in that or listen to the Marino episodes that we do for BFOTs, just go to knoxandjamie.com/Patreon. Jamie. Would you like to start with our ask a personal question?
Yes. So this question comes from Ashton Witt, who said, what are your avatars on your Max and Netflix profiles? And then Hallie Holden said, I'd like to add Disney Plus. to this question. So this is a great question. So I went and I double checked. So my Disney Plus is Ursula, and I would not be Ursula if there was a Leia option, but there is no Princess Leia, which is so bizarre. No Han Solo and no Luke Skywalker. What are we doing? That doesn't even make sense. And then on Netflix, I have chosen Titus from The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Mm-hmm. Would you like to guess what the number one profile used on the avatar is used on Netflix by all users? 11 million users use this profile icon. What?
I don't know.
Boss Baby.
Boss Baby? What?
Yep. Yes.
It's from Boss Baby 1 or Boss Baby 2?
It's Boss Baby 1 original OG. Yeah.
There's no way you know that. There's no way you have that.
Why would you even ask it if you didn't think I knew the answer?
You would never get access.
How dare you? Were you setting me up for failure?
Reed Hastings would never tell you. That's absurd.
Okay. And then Max, which is I call HBO Max because Max is not real to me yet. Mm-hmm. Just like Twitter is still Twitter. I use Trixie Mattel, of course. Iconic. And by the way, if you were looking for just as a bonus answer to a personal question, my favorite season of Drag Race is season 6. So okay. Season 6, if you're looking, because there's 15, 16 years of Drag Race. So if you're looking for a season to start with, and they're not all created equal, much like Survivor and The Bachelor, but season 6 is very, very good. So
okay. It's man, you lofted up a perfect alley-oop for a segue. Because you mentioned what I'm going to talk about and ask a personal question, but oh. I'm going to ignore it and watch the ball fall to the ground. But I want you to know that I recognize that was a perfect alley-oop. Okay.
Okay. So thank you.
Noted. And
got it.
But I do need to talk about some of my avatars because I didn't
I want to know what your avatars are.
After the Fart Daddy debacle, I had really lost track on what my avatar was, just like blind spot. I wasn't checking it. And I realize now it's the Night King. From Game of Thrones.
You didn't pick it? Someone picked it for you.
I did. A long time ago. And
Night
I just completely forgot.
Night King's a good
forgot. Choice. Netflix, it's polar bear. Just polar bear green background.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
No creative?
I don't really know.
You don't want to be a Demogorgon.
No, I really don't. I don't want to be a Demogorgon. No. I want to say, I think I'm Mando on Disney Plus.
Of course, that makes sense. You're very mean to Mando to have Mando as your avatar.
How am I mean to Mando?
You're like, he doesn't do anything. This is not a good show. And although these seasons are not good, but you're like, Pedro Pascal doesn't do anything. That's so mean.
Me stating a fact of reality.
Yeah.
Now that's mean.
Yeah.
Now
sometimes facts are mean. Sometimes facts are mean and we don't need to say them.
Sometimes facts are facts. Sometimes how you interpret them is weak baby stuff. Aaron, do you know your avatars? I find this to be super interesting about people.
My children have chosen them, but I don't remember what they are.
Which I think is more interesting because it's like, how do they see you? How do they perceive you?
I think it's Mrs. Incredible. Miss Incredible.
Of course it is.
Elastigirl.
Elastigirl.
Yeah. Sorry. My bad. My bad.
You are an Elastigirl.
Am I?
Yeah. That's a good thing. She's awesome.
Right, but what makes me Elastigirl?
Because you do everything for your kids and you love them so much and you go everywhere they need you to go and those are all good things, right?
Uh-huh. I don't know.
Tom Hardy from Fury Road GIF.
If you had a therapist, they might tell you that, but I'm not your therapist. Okay. I'm just your friend and your coworker.
Are you? Sometimes I don't know.
Therapist, friend, coworker, all healthy relationships to be one person. Jason, do you have any exceptional avatars that you know of?
I'm actually Titus as well on Netflix. No other exceptional.
Look at us, we're twins.
I love him so much. Yeah.
Did you guys just become best friends?
But we're the worst kind of twins. Fraternal. That's the worst kind of twins.
It's tough. Okay, so I mentioned the perfect segue that you supplied. You mentioned Survivor. You mentioned how different seasons are different cast, different seasons, different vibes, right?
Yes.
It's all not one universal uniform thing. A question I've gotten from several people in the DMs is, what's wrong with this season of Survivor? Survivor season 45. Second episode happened, as the time of we're recording, it happened last night. this is tricky, Jamie. This is a tricky season because this... I'm trying to not be hyperbolic, but this might be the worst assemblage of human beings that's ever been put together on planet Earth.
Okay, so bring me up to speed. Where is
I'm including
this located?
The Nazi war crime trials.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Including that.
Oh,
this is
it's got it, not, got it, got
I'm
it,
not,
got it.
I'm not. It's sarcastic, obviously. Jason, keep it in so people know. You know, they can see the whole journey of how that went.
So, where is this Survivor season located?
I think it's always in Fiji. It's static now. Like they're always there. They used to dance around a little bit. I always thought sometimes they should go to Kentucky, go to some of the haulers and just see what's up.
Basin. Good luck.
That'd be great.
Wish you the best. What is there a theme to the people or is this was just a random? selection.
You know, it's it feels, well, two things. They've elongated the episodes, so it went from an hour to an hour and a half. That's actually not been bad. I haven't really felt it. It's just felt, it's obviously not an hour, but I haven't been like, whoa, this is really grinding down. But I think the problem is they've cast super fans and people who are immensely passionate about the show. But they're actually ill-equipped to be on the show. And do you want to know how I knew that straight away, Jamie? Because one of the most passionate fans, you know, one of the challenges involved getting out of a boat and climbing up the ladder of a bigger boat, right? So two boats, water, ladder, pretty basic stuff for Survivor. My man couldn't get up the ladder. He had a panic attack and he just couldn't do it. And then later on, he broke down emotionally, and him and a tribe mate, they both started arguing about who should get to quit first. Which is not a vibe you want
in
on
episode
a,
two?
No, this was episode one, actually. A therapist lady and a Brandon, they were arguing. And I think, honestly, the therapist gaslit Brandon into staying so she could quit, but I don't think he knew that. It's complicated how like it all went down. But she was just like, not for me, you know, not for me. I'm not here for that.
Does this make you sad when it's not as like, are you, because you don't have anybody to root for, or you don't have good content, like drama? What is it about it that makes you bummed?
That people are bad at the thing they're supposed to be okay at. That's tough. Fair.
Because I would assume thousands of people applied to be on the show, right?
Yeah. I think they need to go more to archetypes, you know, and people who will be in a good, not a good necessarily, but a dramatic group dynamic. Sometimes that pendulum goes too far, like on The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Now they've gone the exact opposite way, where it's like people with very distinct personal narratives. And they definitely have the opportunity for heartwarming, like character moments where they can talk about something they overcame. But if you can't get up a ladder, it's not going to matter if you have a heart warming.
Have they ever done like a children's Survivor, like where they just have the kids do
it? That's Lord of the Flies. They have. That's Lord of the Flies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's a good one. It's a banger.
I would like
one.
To see that. That and really old, like not 60, 90.
Do you understand how close you're getting to Hunger Games? You spontaneously listen, came up with the Hunger Games.
FYI, very pro Hunger Games.
Even need like a rebellion to get pissed about it. You're just like, let's put these kids out and see what happens. I don't know, man. But Jason and I, we're talking about underachievers. So if you're passionate about Survivor, go check it out over there. Speaking of dire situations, Jamie, let's do How Do We Feel? And we are officially the softest generation because we're going to be alive at the time where they make a Bambi movie where they don't freaking kill that Bambi mom, which I feel like is just a necessity of that story.
So Lindsay Anderson Beer, who she did Pet Sematary : Bloodlines, and she's working on a retelling of Sleepy Hollow. She's rebooting Lord of the Flies. Perfect segue.
Yep.
She had to leave. She was going to be in the live action Bambi, but she had to leave. But she said, not to spoil the plot, but there's a treatment of the mom dying that I think some kids, some parents these days are more sensitive about than they were in the past. And I think that's one of the reasons that they haven't shown it to their children. Have your kids, Knox, ever seen Bambi?
No, I haven't showed Bambi to
them. Listen, but here's the thing. When they say that like, oh, it's Bambi, it's a Bambi problem. It's not a Bambi problem. More than 30 Disney movies feature a dead parent.
Yeah.
And at least six of them show the death on screen. It's not just Bambi. Like, all kinds of parents die.
Because, like, she died. She didn't die off the jump, right? She didn't die at Jump Street. Because, like, in Finding Nemo, like, they freaking kill that mom straight away. And you know what it is.
That's
right. This one, I think that's the problem. Is like, it's a little secret.
Well, like, The Lion King. It's early, but it's not out of the gate, you know.
Yeah, that's in the first act. We're gonna kick you right in the emotional.
Or battles. Hunchback of Notre Dame when his mom dies.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen Hunchback of Notre Dame. Now that
what?
I'm talking about it,
that's so good. And look, I get that they do this because they have to have a reason for people to leave home and be on their Joseph Campbell adventure. Like I get it. I get that that's part of the storytelling, but like death is also part of life, and you got to man up and just realize sometimes your mom dies.
I think the bigger issue I have here, number one, is live action Bambi. I don't know who's wanting that. Who's that for? You know?
Yeah, I did not enjoy the live action Lion King.
No, it's unnecessary. I think when you read Lindsay Anderson Beer's, you know, bona fides, did you notice the theme? Because so she's going to write Bambi, right? The like a gentle whatever nothing burger of a movie, and the person they chose has done Pet Sematary : Bloodlines.
Right.
Sleepy Hollow and Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Do you feel like a conflict there? Do you feel like thematically she's the person to do that?
No, because it seems like she's the person to kill Bambi's mom twice in one film.
Look, I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Do I want to see Bambi : Pet Sematary? I think I do.
Okay. See, now what you're talking about, that's very interesting to me. Bambi's
what
mom
if we did
back.
All the Disney animals And it was Pet Sematary : Disney Animals. And so it's just that warthog. It's just that chicken from Moana.
Listen, let's zombie up with some of these people. And like, yes. See, I would be here for a zombie Gaston now that we're talking about it. You know, if we're just like,
oh, do you know how hot zombie Gaston would be?
I can't get the read. Are you into zombie Gaston? Like, are you into Gaston in general?
Oh, 100%.
Checks a lot of boxes.
All day, every day, all day.
Aaron, did you ever see Bambi?
Did I ever see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Bambi. It's one of the first movies I saw in a theater.
That explains so much about Aaron. Why she doesn't like going to the movies.
I loved Bambi.
You loved Bambi's mom dying.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't love that part, but like, it's a good movie.
It did raise the emotional stakes. That's for
sure. You think it's one of the top five?
No.
So it's a good movie, but not a top five Disney movie.
No.
What's a top five Disney movie?
Oh, Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Solid.
I would do, what if there was a movie where Kronk and Gaston found out like they're cousins? And
oh,
they were like, hey,
shoot. That would be
should
good.
Should we team up? That would be good.
Could they be twins?
What if they're
twins and they go on adventures like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I'm into it, man. Let's do it.
I like it.
So thinking about sad moments from your childhood that people don't want to allude to anymore, I wanted to check in, Jamie, and see, like, was there a particular, like, was there a formative sad moment from your childhood or like just from your younger days where you're like, woof, this is tough? What?
Yes.
Just like,
let's talk about how your life was ruined as a 6-year-old. Yes. Actually, there is.
It feels like a deep well of content, to
listen,
be honest.
It's actually
so I really
want
to get in there.
In my Enneagram cohort that I go to every quarter in Dallas, they said, do you know what your childhood wound is? And all these people are talking about like their parents finding their mom dead in the house and their parents divorcing and moves.
Gosh.
And I was like, well, when I was 5 years old, I watched E.T. Because the childhood wound of an Enneagram 7 is it's not okay to depend on others for anything.
Right.
And E.T. left Elliot and he just was like, I live here in your heart now. And I didn't understand that. And I was like, no, I want E.T. to be here forever. I had an E.T. doll whose finger lit up. It was very important to me. E.T. was very formative. And I do believe that that is why I became an Enneagram 7.
Can you say E.T. left? Does a visitor leave you or does a visitor return? Do you know what I mean?
Well, but
I don't think it's fair to say like E.T. left. You're pretending like E.T. abandoned.
How would I know any different at 5 years old? I don't know.
When I go to the grocery store, I don't abandon the grocery store when I leave. I just return home to my house.
But you can easily go back to the grocery store if 5 minutes later.
So you think it's reasonable for people to be like, you should live at the grocery store now because
that's
right.
But I'm just saying you can turn the car around at any moment and go right back. E.T. can't come back.
I wouldn't mind to live at a grocery store, to be honest with you. It's everything.
There's no way. Where would you sleep?
In the back. I'm sure there's a bunk. You know, I don't need much.
You think right now inside an HEB is a bunk bed.
Yeah, 100%, dog. We could trundle bed that thing, put it in the wall. Exactly. I've never commented on this, but I just want to say, I really enjoy that you call the Enneagram group it's the cohort.
It's literally its name.
Hey, you're getting defensive. You are getting defensive. I was paying you a compliment.
You make it sound like I made up a silly name for it, but that's what she calls it. And she's Suzanne Stabile. She's a big bitch.
She can name it. Suzanne, the members of this recording don't endorse the description of you as a big bitch.
She would be honored to be called a big bitch. That is the compliment from the highest mountain. She would
it
love
is,
that.
I want to make sure the vibe's right before I unload that thing
sure,
on her.
Fair.
I want to say it sounds very regal and just sounds really cool. And I
we
like
are
it.
Regal. We do cry a lot, though, but we are regal.
tears are a very regal thing.
What's
you know,
your
so good
what's your
y'all.
Sad moment? And does it apply to your, I'm going to make it apply to your wounded message as a childhood. Is your childhood wound?
You know, I think this wasn't necessarily childhood as much, but when Wallace, it's my childhood of like appreciating TV, when Wallace gets killed in The Wire, with young Michael B. Jordan, you know? When Bodie
I wondered how you would answer this question, and I never guessed it would be The Wire.
Listen, it's a sad moment.
It is a hugely sad moment. Because I did not know it was coming either at all.
They're acting like adults.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, when he knows he's about to get killed, like, he just folds, and it's so traumatic. This was when my son was pretty young, and I watched The Road. And that is just an emotional blitzkrieg.
Listen, here's the thing. Because I'm older than you, you missed out on some of the key early 80s trauma of TV, like on Different Strokes, where he almost got molested by the guy that owned the cycle shop.
Okay.
Mr. Belvedere, where the counselor tries to molest one of the youngest children of Mr. Belvedere. When Mighty Mouse used cocaine, he scrunched up a flower.
What?
And he smoked it through his nose.
Why was that sad? Was he like of age?
You can't use cocaine when you're a kid.
Well,
or a mouse.
Things
or
are different for mouses. How old are mice? Like, how old is the mice? Like, I don't want to cast aspersions on his chemical choices, you know?
I just don't know that in 1987, where you're supposed to be using cocaine as a...
He's Mighty Mouse. He can probably handle it. You
maybe
know.
That's why he's mighty. So
interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of drama. Like the hitchhiker when Arnold and Kimberly were kidnapped on Different Strokes. Different Strokes was a very traumatic show.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of molesting, which is tough.
There's a lot of molesting going on these TV shows. The most y'all dealt with was like, oh, she took caffeine pills. She's scared. Like, yeah, that's not was. The kind of trauma I was dealing with on, you know, nighttime TV.
No, I did. I remember watching the Brady Bunch and some of the Brady kids got kidnapped by a kid, a guy. Was it Vincent Price? Am I making that up? In Hawaii? And like he was going to kidnap
them? Oh, yeah, because of the thing they had stolen. That episode was problematic from the jump.
There's a lot of issues.
Don't go to Hawaii, guys. Don't go to Hawaii.
Well, don't do that. Don't try to kidnap kids and maybe molest them in the caves. And then as the dad of the kids, don't invite him to a luau after that. And probably don't have a luau. You know, there's just a lot of don'ts.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Another sad one for me was Donna Martin graduates on 90210. That was a formative sad moment.
Why was it sad?
Like even watching, I think it was during sweeps. And I remember being like, this is a big deal. This is a big deal episode, right? Like a big dramatic set piece.
Yeah.
And it was on a platter for Tori Spelling to like win the Emmy or whatever and become right. like the next great actress. And the content was stupid and she was not good.
She's
and that just made me sad actor. For her. Of like, she'll
never
going to
be the next great actress. That's
yeah,
the Nepo.
She's no Jenny Carr.
She was literally the Nepo baby. She's the avatar for Nepo babies.
She is. Yeah. She was like, there's Andrea Zuckerman, who's 6 years old at the time of that recording of that episode and waiting for her opportunity. And she never got it. You know,
it was a tough.
Also when Scotty got shot in front of David Silver, that was tough.
I was going to say the shooting. Didn't make yeah. it higher on your list. It was her graduating.
Well, I wrote about that. I put that in book form, you know, that's so right. it feels like, you know, I put it in my book cohort. It's in one of the chapters.
You can buy your book cohort on Amazon.com.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's probably a good price right now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting two podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive and June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive and June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Oh. Let's go to What's the Word, Jamie. And I want to talk to you about, there's a Hollywood Reporter article sometimes I love the audacity of some of these. It's like, we're going to tell you the best 50 yes. shows of the 21st century on a random October. Let's do it.
No. Okay. So I do want to say, before we get into it, of the 50 shows that they pick, so their drama, it's the critics, all the critics at Hollywood Reporter got together and made this list. And of the 50 shows they picked, 38 were on the air since we started the podcast. So okay. 38. And of those 38, we had greenlit 30.
Wow.
Okay. Isn't that Look amazing? So it is a solidly good, and I would say of the shows that weren't on the air, for example, The Wire that makes the list, we love, there are several shows of the 12 that had already gone off the air that we loved desperately. So
yes, we've retroactively greenlit that.
That's right.
With passion and enthusiasm. When you're looking at a list like this, or you're thinking about like your favorite TV shows, what is the most valuable thing to you? Is it like, I want to be able to rewatch it and it kind of hold up? Or is it like, I just want a singular, memorable, captivating experience and I don't ever need to watch it again?
Well, I'm really not a rewatcher of shows that often. Yeah. Like my comfort security pop culture blanket is always stand up. So I just mm-hmm. rewatch stand up specials a lot. But I do think there are shows that will not hold up on the rewatch. Not only like culturally they won't hold up, but then they also won't hold up like the dialogue won't hold up, the screenwriting won't hold up, the direction, the casting. There are issues at play. Like, I mean, there's a glare, like The Office is not on this list.
Well, there's a reason why.
I know, exactly. There's a reason for that. And so, because I think The Office on a rewatch, it has, after season 4, has 5 seasons that are not great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, but because there's things on this list that I loved at the time, like they truly were my person. I made them my personality. Mm. And now I would maybe leave them on the list, but I would not put them where they landed.
Like which, like, are you talking, it feels like you're talking about 30 Rock. Are you talking about
30
Rock?
It is what I'm talking. Yeah. So 30 Rock on this list was number 4 on the list, top ranked comedy.
Yeah.
And I, on the rewatch, it has a lot of problems because I did try to rewatch it.
Ooh, this is tough with the now lens.
Listen, or like, I think if you're Asian, Black, or Indigenous, you are not going to find yourself having a good hang. Or if you're an ally to any of those communities, you're going to be like, this is problematic. Like, there's just a lot of cliches and stereotypes and, you know, mocking of things. Like, and the hard part is, it's like there was one person of color in the writing room.
Yeah.
Like, and it was Donald Glover, and he
right.
left. So. Yeah. It's a tough hang. And I loved it at the time because Liz Lemon was such an icon, and it was such a funny show led by women. And that was such an encouragement. And I loved Liz Lemming that she was not a classic. Like, they didn't just try to put a hot blonde and be like, look, there's a funny hot blonde and they're funny. Don't you think?
Oh, she has glasses on, but she says she's smart. And exactly. She cries
with her baby bangs and she's eats ham and has night cheese. And like, and I also love that Tina Fey always casts her love interest as the hottest actors humanly possible.
Yeah. Guys have been doing it for millennia.
Exactly.
Why can't she do it?
Exactly.
Incredible.
But I don't think number four is where it should be. Like, it should be.
Four's rich. Four is rich.
Very rich.
But I think
critics
to your point,
love it. Critics love it.
Critics do. And I think the interesting thing about 30 Rock was it was very embracing of some of the clunkier issues in a way that other comedies did not. Like, it faced it head on.
Right.
But it was also very ham-handed, you know, with some things too, inadvertently.
Yes.
I just keep thinking about, I think it was the live episode where John Hamm did blackface, but they were like, no, like we're commenting on blackface. We're not doing blackface.
No.
I was just like, that seems like a scary
thread
to,
that's
or
horrible.
Needle to thread.
And the number of people that had to get through for them to be like, it was 20 layers deep of people going, that's fine. Nobody will be bothered by that.
Sure. Sounds great.
Yeah.
I just don't want my name on that. That's incredible. You know, I noticed Survivor 23. I thought that was admirable.
I thought that was great because I do think pretending that reality shows haven't been an important part and a great part of TV would be silly. So I would expect Survivor, of all the representatives, it feels like Survivor is the right one to represent reality shows.
Yeah, there Succession at three, little recency bias there, I wonder. I wonder how I'm going to feel about it in 10 years, but, you know, it is what it is. Reservation Dogs. That was the big surprise for me at number
six. Me too. And I love that show. And what's so weird is that it's ended early, I feel like. I feel like it had at least two more seasons in it. But I do think that show, enough people have not seen it. Because there were shows on here that I had there was a show on here I had literally never heard of. Peep City?
Yeah. That was one of those. It might have been a test of like, that's not actually a show, but if you say you like it, then you're a phony.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I don't know. Maybe this is great. For me, the weak link on this list was Halt and Catch Fire.
Thank you, Jamie.
As a show that I watched, because Lee Pace, listen, I'll watch anything Lee Pace is in hopes that he will be very sexy with his whatevers. You know what I mean? And Halt and Catch Fire, it was on AMC. And I was in a very heavy AMC season.
Yeah, it was a good season.
It was a great season. And it was a view of like the computer revolution in the 80s and the 90s of the World Wide Web and all of that. Halt and Catch Fire is like a code. It's some coding. I know some people are getting mad as I talk about it. But
you're infuriating some incel hackers.
I know.
Pissed off at you.
But I thought that show was too all over the place. Who's the focus? Well, it's him. Now it's Mackenzie Davis. I just didn't think it was well written. And so to see this on here, I was like, who in here is writing so hard in hopes that Lee Pace will DM them and thank them for this? Like, who is making this happen?
Because Halt and Catch Fire, the first season is meh, and then it really got good. Actually, it was a very different show. Like, they changed
better.
A lot of the terms.
It got better.
It got underrated good.
Yeah,
it didn't get 17th
fair.
Overall this century good. That feels a little bit like...
You can put this above Veep. You can put this 15 spots before Veep.
Thank you. I'm like, this is double good, better than Veep, which might be the best like half-hour comedy like of our lifetime.
Yes,
that was insane. I just, when you say something like Halt and Catch Fire is my favorite show, or like one of my favorites, that just feels very like auto-filleting, you know, of just like, look at me and my, look at my opinions.
It's like auto-filleting.
It's like saying Mank is my favorite movie. You know, it's not. You're just, or
even
it's like
Amanda
like,
Seyfried doesn't like Mank. She's like,
nobody.
It's fine.
Even Fincher was like, meh. It would be like going to Chick-fil-A and be like, the best food here is the waffle chips. You don't mean that. You're just like.
I didn't say the best food was the waffle chips. Is that rap? I love that rap.
You like a
no, I wanted
rap?
To, let me do an update. I did go back to Chick-fil-A. I went to a good Chick-fil-A. I went to a better Chick-fil-A and I got the pimento cheese sandwich again. And here's what I did. It's the spicy filet. So I think it was excellent. And they put a normal amount of pimento cheese on it. And I did withdraw the jalapenos, not for the heat, but they are maybe the saddest jalapenos I've ever seen. And so I removed them from the narrative. So.
You know that there are pickled jalapenos.
That's exactly why I don't like them.
Okay.
The people out in the world who ride hard for the pickled veggies. I know it's Aaron, but she's looking at me. But listen, that's a version of myself I don't want to be.
No pickled anything. What are you talking about?
What do you mean no pickled anything?
Aaron would die a thousand deaths if pickled onions didn't exist.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the elevator pitch for like pickled things beyond like they last for a long time?
They level up literally everything in your life. You want to put
your marriage, your children, everything.
Listen, you want to put some pickled rat. Like, do you want a good taco? Do you want to have an elevated experience?
Are you going to put radishes on this taco?
Yeah, you're going to put pickled radish. You're going to put pickled onion. You're going to put pickled cauliflower, pickled carrots. You want to put?
I just feel like it dilutes
the
flavor.
It overwhelms everything because of the vinegar. It overwhelms every other good flavor in a dish.
You're absolutely wrong. It adds that extra tang at the end. Oh my gosh! It's just
it's not at the end. It's at the beginning. It's in the middle.
I don't know what's wrong with your tongue, but obviously something. Like, I don't know. But like it takes you on a ride. It's like you're going on an experience. Okay. Yeah. That is what
this is Aaron. She's like, Aladdin, do you trust me? Let's go on a ride.
Let's get on this vinegar carpet and see what happens.
It's a whole new world. And if you have an elevated taste and you're not someone who's just like, maybe I should put a jalapeno on this chicken strip, then maybe.
You're hurting. Now you're hurt people.
I'm not hurting. I feel good. I have vinegar. I have fermented probiotics in me and I eat food that tastes good. So I don't know.
I've never gone out of my way to eat pickled food, but your passion and enthusiasm, Aaron, I'm now going to go on a little bit of a personal journey and sample some of these things.
Okay,
you want something good? Yeah. You want something good? You get a brisket taco. You put some pickled onion on that. And I'm just telling you,
when you get that and that pickled onion, so you can't taste the brisket anymore, it is delicious.
Look, like, I love onions. Okay,
you want to take the advice of somebody who eats a chicken nugget, or you want to take the advice of somebody who understands what good food is?
I mean, okay,
it's your decision.
Aaron has great taste. This to me is her blind spot. Like her riding hard for pickled things, I think is your one blind spot when it comes to food.
We're going to find out. Aaron's going to keep us in the loop on UAB. I'm going to report back on pickled stuff. I like giving people homework
like
and getting homework.
I like homework.
This is good. This is good. Aaron and Jason, what was your, since we're here, like what's your, do you have a favorite show of the 21st century? Like off the top of your head?
I would go like Fleabag, second That's season of Fleabag.
It was ranked number 31 on the list.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Do you
That's
think really they're ranking one. Both seasons of that?
No, it's second season.
Okay. Just second season only. Yeah. Or Veep. I would go Veep.
Veep was 32.
Mine is Veep. And I thought that Breaking Bad at 16. That's too low.
So would you on this list they put Better Call Saul way ahead of Breaking Bad. Would you say that's fair?
No.
I don't think so because I think that the impact and the best show overall and everything was Breaking Bad. I think it was so much more dramatic than Better Call Saul. But to have it all the way at 16 when Mad Men is one, I think that that's kind of crazy.
Listen, people talk about, you know, Jamie, like, I know you were in on that AMC life. Like, you know, you were there.
The Americans.
You probably messed with Low Winter Sun like I did.
Yeah, I did. Of course you did. Of course I did.
We know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul, I loved. The first two seasons were about paperwork at an old person retirement home. That's just a fact. And you know what? It paid off and it was fine, but it's not better than Breaking Bad. That is like saying Easter is a more important holiday than Christmas. Because the resurrection is more interesting than the
food is better. The resurrection is better.
You can't resurrect nothing.
I will say I was also bummed that Broad City wasn't a little higher because I thought Broad City was so revolutionary. In terms of comedies, I just think Broad City was a better.
It never got respected. If Broad City had been on HBO, you would be talking about it in the top 10. It would be like, what's the Gene Smart comedy?
Hacks.
Yes. Yeah. It would be like that. It would be treated like that, but it's not, unfortunately.
I think Broad City is going to make its way back through like reels, TikToks, and all that stuff because there are out of context clips from Broad City that are still just absolutely hilarious.
Perfect. It's just a rich, it's a rich text. Game of Thrones at 30. That kind of.
That's season eight, y'all. That's season eight. That pushed you down 15 spots. I'm telling you.
I agree.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
Yeah, that's just, it changed the industry.
No,
for like
it
6 years.
But I'm telling you, people only remember the end.
That's true.
And they're only buying, because even me, I think, should I go back and watch Game of Thrones? Because listen, season one, that end of season one, that finale, it broke me as a person. It was so good. But I think if I went back, I would still just only remember how bad season eight was.
Yeah, I can't believe they dealt with the Night King in one episode. They're just like, here he is, and he's gone, and forever. And I think this light spoiler, but it was a little disappointing. But it's a good list. I really liked looking at this list. It made me, you know, appreciating the best. I thought it also feels fair to be like, you know, there has been some bad TV. If we had to make a list of like the worst TV of the 21st century, Jamie, do you have like a nominee you'd like to put forward?
I do. I have an honorable mention in I Want to Marry Harry on Fox, if you remember.
Man,
in 2014.
I saw that too. I could not believe that.
As a reminder, that they took a red Englishman and made 12 single American women think he was Harry the Prince. And the woman who won, she recently did an interview where she was like, when I knew he wasn't the one is when they took us to London and I saw somebody holding a Harry mask. And I was like, well, that's not him.
That's bad producing. That's really bad producing.
But my actual nominee would be, and because I watch, because I was thinking about bad shows where I have watched all of the show.
Yeah.
And I only could think of one, and it was Stalker on CBS. I don't know if you remember Stalker, but this was Maggie Q, who is an LAPD detective who runs a unit, but she herself has been the victim of stalking.
Mm.
And then Dylan McDermott is the New York, like, weather detective that moves to LA who tries to
stalk people.
Well, no. Well, I'd hate to spoil it for you, but
which one's the stalker?
Well, it was a procedural where they did different stalking each week, but then the through line was that maybe Dylan McDermott was a stalker. Listen,
cut two. He's definitely a stalker.
This was so problematic. And look, I love Dylan McDermott from what was it? What was
Still
the law
noise.
Show? No, what was the law show he was on?
Don't say
the
no. Don't say no. That he don't he's act like he's not Gemstones? In Steel Magnolias.
Yes, he is. Wait, is he?
Doesn't
no,
he
he's not in Righteous Gemstones.
The pastor, the good pastor. The nice pastor that...
No, that's Stephen Dorff.
No.
I don't know that he's nice.
The first season of Righteous Gemstones.
No.
Yeah, Dylan McDermott.
No, I think you're thinking of Dylan McDermott. You're thinking of Dermot Mulroney.
Ah, dang it.
It is. Yeah. And I, like, hand of God, I was just about to pitch a detective show with Dermot Mulroney and Dylan McDermott. Because I feel like that'd just be so confusing.
Okay, it's The Practice. Because he was a guest on Ally McBeal as Bobby Donnell. And then he was The Practice. And I loved The Practice so much. He was so hot and sexy. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to love this. This will be fun. Yeah. And Maggie Q and he had such great chemistry because they like dated in real life. And that show was so problematic. I mean, not even like, you're being too woke problematic. I mean, like, no, we would all agree on this. Like, it is so exploitive and misogynistic. And gross and creepy. And look, I looked on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 20% critic score and an 81% audience score. And I went,
wow.
Because those are the stalkers who are like, this seems great. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, I think there's a big Maggie Q hive that you're underestimating. There's a huge contingent.
Maggie Q is hot. Remember her in Mission Impossible when she gets out of the car?
Who could forget?
So
good.
Who
could forget? I think an interesting version of that show is Maggie Q is the stalker. And like, how much will dudes let her get away with? Because... they're okay with getting stalked by Maggie.
Yeah, 100. Yeah,
you know,
guys.
I feel like that's where the Hustlers movie. I feel like it kind of laid up a little bit when I'm. I just wanted a movie that would explore how much dudes would allow if just someone like Jennifer Lopez paid attention to them. You know, it'd be a lot. It would be a lot.
Yeah, it would.
I put Cavemen, the TV show based on the. It's just in the moment when you said the pitch out loud, everyone was like, "That's a terrible idea." But they were like, you know, the really mediocre. Funny cave guys from the Geico commercials.
Right.
What's a show about them? Yeah. And it'll be great. And it turns out it was not because Nick Kroll was in that. I think he was involved.
Yes.
But I think obviously, you know, the uber text of cave people in a modern world is Encino Man with obviously Brendan Fraser, Pauly Shore. Who could forget? So unless you're gonna, if you're gonna be pulling on Superman's cloak like that, you know, you better bring it and don't just come with some Geico IP is what I'm saying.
No, that's exactly right.
So it was bad stuff.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to paireyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's paireyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/popcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for? And what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/popcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/popcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/popcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, let's go to Trailer Park, Jamie, and in lieu of really talking about CinemaSci piece or the box office recap, we are getting some good trailers coming out.
We are.
We've been trying to talk about the Bout of Songbirds and Snakes, Sand Snakes. It's a very wordy title, and I'm not going to get it right.
I like that you wrote Sand Snakes in the rundown when it's just snakes.
Isn't that a Game of Thrones now? Like, that's a Game of Thrones group, I think.
The Hunger Games: The Ballad of Songbirds and Snake. Knox, he greenlit the book. You really loved it.
It's a great book. It's so good.
And so we knew it was going to become a movie. That was a given. And so this will be the fifth installment in the film series. And this takes us back. It comes out November 17th at the theaters. This is going back in time. So this is now Snow, but he's 18 years old.
Yep.
And the 10th annual Hunger Games are approaching. He is supposed to mentor Lucy. Lucy is played by Rachel Zegler. Listen, has anyone ever had the kind of run that Rachel Zegler has had in terms of getting the biggest roles in Hollywood? Like West Side Story, then she was in a Marvel or DC film, Shazam. She's in the Shazam, one of the Shazams.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, she's in one of the Shazams. And then she's playing Snow White, and then she's in Hunger Games. Like, and literally, she did not act before West Side Story. Like, she was not acting.
She was just
in her high school plays.
See, like, I haven't intersected a lot with her. I can't tell if she's good or not. And also can't tell, why is she getting these roles? Is it because she's legit, compelling, and good? Because wasn't she trying to get invited to the Oscars? And she shamed the Oscars into inviting her, sadly?
Well, she didn't shame them. She was just like, everybody else got invited, West Side Story, but me, I did not receive an invitation.
That's weird.
Like, Anson Elgort got invited. Elgort got invited, and you did not get invited? That doesn't
Did you say
right.
Anson? I hope I he has did. A brother named Anson. That would be so many consonants.
Anson and Ansel? I don't know. But this,
Anson
I will say
and
this
Gretel,
trailer.
Elgort. That's the move.
Got
That's
it.
What you do.
So Peter Dinklage is in this, which you know I'm very excited about. And then Viola Davis and Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartzman as like, he's not directly related to Stanley Tucci's Oscar Flickerman, but he's like some kind of related. That's excellent casting.
Look, their last name is the same. It's Lucky Flickerman and Caesar Flickerman.
Yeah, but I read it's not father son. It's like a different situation. You
it's
know,
like a or nephew.
I don't know.
Like
I don't know
cousin?
How lineages
I don't know.
Work, you know,
but the game maker is. I do love that Viola Davis is playing the game maker. That
yes.
feels. I love her in a vicious role. I love her being like creepy and villainous. It's my favorite
yeah.
thing.
There's menacing, and she's really excellent at that. I like. having Peter Dinklage, and it's pretty clear that he's a intoxicated Peter Dinklage the whole time. That's my favorite version. I think he's gonna be really good at
that. I don't, you know, obviously I'm not a fan of Snow because I don't trust blonde men, and that's the blonde.
That's the whole point. This is like a victory lap for you.
I know. Finally, let's talk about it. Let's own it. Let's be honest about it.
I was probably Homelander and The Boys. That's probably your biggest victory lap, because there's some really dicey implications about blonde men, including breastfeeding. Not to spoil anything, but that's kind of what it is.
This trailer looked it looked very stylish and glam, and I loved that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. My only concern is Rachel Zegler. She I don't remember this in the book, but she starts talking like a normal person, and then halfway through, she becomes a debutante. And I don't remember that happening in the story, but it does happen in the trailer.
Isn't that what happens to every young girl who goes to the Hunger Games?
Maybe. And maybe she's just like, I'm going to be Southern, even though Southern doesn't have any context here in this movie. But I'm really excited about that. Are you excited about Leave the World Behind, the newest Sam as male?
So Knox greenlit the book Hunger Games. I greenlit the book Leave the World Behind. I loved this book. So this is a psychological thriller. It's based on the novel by Rooman Alam, and it stars Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali, Ethan Hawke, and my favorite person in this trailer, Kevin Bacon. You're giving me a doomsday conspiracy theorist played by Kevin Bacon. This is what I'm here for. Driving.
I thought you were
saying
my favorite person, Mahala Harold Harper from Industry, because she's
that's your show. I've never watched Industry, so I didn't. At first, I was like, where do I know her from?
Excellent. Yeah, she's excellent in Industry.
Well, so this is coming out it's going to be in the theaters for a short time in November and for Thanksgiving, and then it's going to be released on Netflix on December 8th. It's a family vacation on Long Island, as you do, at the Hamptons, is interrupted by two strangers bearing news of a mysterious blackout. As the threat grows more imminent, both families must decide how best to survive the potential crisis, all while grappling with their own place in this collapsing world. This is being run by Sam Esmail, who we both really love.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Robot early seasons, top notch. Yeah. I loved the Homecoming, the Gimlet Homecoming that he did with Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And then The Resort. We watched.
Yeah,
did we both
resort,
watch? Yeah.
Really
the Resort was
the
good.
Resort.
And so I like him being in charge of this.
Do you get more excited now when you see that Julia Roberts is in a movie or that Mahershala Ali is in a movie?
Oh, 100% Mahershala. Like, actually,
it shouldn't, but it is. That's true.
It isn't. But Julia Roberts, it's not that I don't think she's talented. I actually think she's probably the most talented of that generation of stars.
Hmm.
Like, I actually think she's more talented than George Clooney. That might be controversial. As an actor.
Well, I don't think George Clooney acts. I think he just vibes, right?
But he just vibes. That's right.
Yeah.
He's the same thing in everything. And sometimes he puts on weight. Like, that's all he does. But I like her looking normal. One thing I do like about Julia Roberts is she is an actress who has decided to age like a normal person.
Yeah.
And I like that in this role, particularly because I like this character, Amanda, in the book. And so, I mean, I like how the character plays out. And so I was concerned about the son being played by drugstore Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, I had discount Chalamet. Like, I don't, obviously Chalamet, you know, he's a blank check right now, but this guy, I don't know that we needed like the
we didn't need a duplicate. We got the original.
Great looking kid though. Let's be honest. Great looking
because,
kid.
Well, the model is great. Like it's a cute part. That hair.
He could be like a Sundell or a doppelganger. Like if Chalamet gets in trouble.
Yes.
I don't know why you put Kevin Bacon and Ethan Hawke in the same movie, because you're on similar ground. You know, you can't just put like a cowboy's hat on Kevin Bacon and be like, look, they're so different. One's rugged.
Right. I didn't think about that. They are very doppelganger-ish.
Because when she stares at him at Lowe's and he's putting like big water, he's got like two packs of water for the apocalypse, which I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you're going to need some more, man. And he just like, he mad dogs her. I was just like, is that Ethan Hawke? That's Kevin Bacon.
Should Ethan Hawke get an Oscar for how scared he looks in that track? He does. In that trailer, he looks so scared.
Okay, my note here. I'm literally reading my note. Ethan Hawke scared of the sky face when he yui's his blue Jeep is not his best acting.
No, you're wrong.
This is a guy who doesn't know how to...
That is his pickled onion of acting. It's so good.
There's a cohort of excellence, and he does not achieve that. I don't think he is a guy who acts in front of a green screen very often. So when he's forced to...
No, probably not.
It's like, man, I don't know what I'm doing here. I thought it was interesting in the stressful getaway situation that everyone chose to let Julia Roberts drive the getaway car. She just doesn't strike me as someone that I would be like, yeah, you drive. You have my destiny in your hands.
Sometimes it's just sometimes, well, you're already there and I don't want you to have to undo your seat.
No, but if I'm trying to outrun the apocalypse, I'll be like, you know what? I'll go ahead and come around. I'll come around to you. you get in the back.
Listen, I would just be like, run over me with this car. I do not want to live through an apocalypse. Please. Thank you.
But I'm excited about this. I'm a little scared that it's on Netflix-ish, but I'm also extremely excited about this.
I'm actually surprised. I thought it was going to be, when I heard that it was being adapted because it had a bidding war, I thought it was going to be a series. So I was actually a little disappointed that it was a film, but I'm curious how they're going to play it out. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Okay, well, that is our conversation on The More You Know.
The more you know.
As always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know at oxygen.com/525. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week is a sweet, precious angel neighbor brought me a little happy fall note and included a bag of candy. And the red light is to the candy that she chose. And to all of you who sometimes this season choose this candy, and that is candy corn. Okay? Okay, let's have an honest conversation. Okay, first, it's not candy and it's not corn. Okay, the outer.
Would you like it better if it was corn? Would you be like, finally, an popcorn? Honesty broker?
Let's be honest, like a white cheddar popcorn. Yes.
No, I'm talking about like corn on the cob.
Yeah,
like wet yellow knobs in your bag.
No, like, but like if it had a candy component to it, like if it was a sweet corn, sure.
Yeah.
I love that better. Look, the outer coating comes from bugs. Just as a reminder, that is literally lac resin from a red insect found in Asia that they put on that candy. That's why it's like that. It is the Kourtney Kardashian. Oh, I almost said Kardashian. It's the Kourtney Kardashian of candy. It's fine, but every other option is better. Every other option is better. Kourtney Kardashian is the least of her sisters. And Rob. Even
you've got Rob
and Caitlin
over her.
And Caitlin, I pick Caitlin over Kourtney. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. And then Reese's, listen, just focus on Reese's, guys. Reese's now has freaking bats. Like, they got bats, they got ghosts, they got pumpkins, they got all the things. We don't need candy corn. We do not need Pennywise's teeth as some sort of delectable thing to eat. We don't need it. Focus on the Reese's. Focus on the Reese's.
Jamie, do you use mascara, nail polish, lipstick, or hairspray? Because according to the internet, shellac is found in those things as well.
I don't put those in my mouth.
Tyler, your sex tape. My red light this week is, so I don't know if you guys have been following the political news, you know? I'm a
what? Did something happen?
Big political watchdog these days. And pun intended, because President Biden got another dog be biting people. A second dog. Did you know that?
No. Because the other dog died. Did the other dog die?
No. The other dog was biting too many people. That's Major you're talking about. Okay. Major had to be moved off site.
Who's this dog?
This is Commander. I had forgotten that these are two different dogs. I thought this was still Major.
Well, you named them for biting. You got to name it like, you got to give it a name like Pumpkin.
It's his last name. You know, he can't really control that. You know, so I'm not going to blame the president.
Pumpkin Biden? You could be Pumpkin Biden.
Like dog be biting, you know, like that's just, it is, it's kind of in the cards, but I would say don't get German Shepherds, you know, that's probably the issue.
No, I but they're so.
So like Commander, he's getting moved out of the White House because he's bitten 11 Secret Service officers since January.
Jeez Louise. Oh my God.
And I did spend this morning reading through, there's a watchdog group, pun intended, named like Judicial Watch, sued for the emails associated with these biting incidents. And it's a 195 page PDF about just emails, Secret Service officers being like, this freaking clown needs a muzzle, LOL. And
I want to hear the emails read out loud by Jill Biden.
I want the whole thing, you know, this is taxpayer money, like going into this, but I would just say maybe we get like, you know, get a basset hound. There's a one-eyed basset hound on the market right now.
You're constantly trying to get rid of your own dog.
No, look, I'm just trying to repurpose her to a higher
calling. And to be fair, you're not trying to pass it on. You want it to die.
No, I just want her to not be with me anymore. That's what I want. You know, right. I'm not making any claims about mortality.
Joe Biden feels like he needs like a little teacup dog that he can carry, like it's light and he can get, but you know what the problem is, he's too, but here's the thing, like with my parents, the veterinarian said you cannot have a small dog because my parents wanted to get a dachshund, and the vet was like, you are too old to have a small dog, you have to have a big dog that when you run into it you don't fall and break a hip.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's right, like so that's why he has to have big dogs. Joe's old. you know?
I just, you know, when I looked up, like, what are German Shepherds made for? They are overprotective of their family and their territory if they're not socialized correctly. I can guarantee he's not. And they are protective of their owners. So you have men in sunglasses and suits constantly walking around your owners. I feel like that's going to trigger them a lot. So I don't, it just feels like right there. It's pretty obvious.
The dog can see the gun on your hip.
He knows. Commander knows. Yeah. Major knows. But, you know, obviously, I looked where they came from. It's not going to surprise you. Adolf Hitler, big fan of the German Shepherds. Oof, that's not great. You know, but I did read, he had like his favorite German Shepherd, I think was named Blondie, I think. And when he was getting ready.
Wow.
And
on
Blondie
the
with
nose.
An eye, too. Blondie with an eye. So that's a little, when he was getting ready to kill himself, he was like, test the cyanide on Blondie, the dog. Okay. Cause I want to make sure this kills me. Right.
Stop it.
So the dog obviously passes away. And in Wikipedia, it said, that, Erna Flegel, a nurse who worked at the emergency casualty station, stated in 2005 that the dog's death affected people in the bunker more than Eva Braun's suicide. And that is just the most ridiculous drive-by of Eva Braun's legacy.
No, you listen to me right now. 50% of our audience listening would be more upset about a dog dying than a human dying any day.
Oh yeah. But I just like think, you know, Eva Braun, just like, why you got to do her dirty like that? You know, like that's
tough.
It was implied. We understood.
But 2005, it's been enough time has passed. Like,
it's incredible. It's incredible. The shade in that. What is your green light this week, Jamie?
Okay. So this week I have two green lights. The first is a brand new book. It's called Out There Screaming. It is a black horror anthology curated by Jordan Peele, one of our favorite people. Now, Jordan Peele, Get Out, Us, Nope. He loves horror stories. And this book surprised me so much because normally I don't like short stories because I want to be immersed for 300 pages or 500 pages. But this was like the perfect way to consume horror because he got all the best black authors out there. I mean, like N.K. Jemisin wrote a piece for this, which is actually my favorite story called Reckless Eyeballing, which is about, that's the beauty of these stories. So the story takes the quintessential American black experience and puts it into horror situations, which I love. So Origin Story is one of my favorites, Reckless Eyeballing. I also love Hide and Seek. I love Lazarin. But here's the thing, what I'll say, these stories, There's like stories that are scary. There are some frightening stories where I had to be like, I got to put this in the freezer. But then there were stories that were sad and like creepy. And then there were stories that made me like weirdly uncomfortable in a good way. So it's so well collaborated because he has a great eye for that. And then these writers, listen, the writing is top notch. So I think even if you're not somebody who loves horror, I think you would really love this anthology because everything is very short. You're not getting too immersed in any one story, but it's also often in context, like these two sisters, the writer is one of my favorites, where two sisters get on a bus. They're activists and they get on a bus going somewhere strange. And then a mysterious writer appears and all of the hijinks ensue. So I love that. So that's my first. And then my second is a stand-up special. Speaking of stand-up comedy, Beth Stelling, who is one of my favorite stand-ups because she is one of the driest stand-ups out there. And she has a new special on Netflix called If You Didn't Want Me Then. And she covers three kind of storylines. One is her growing up with her mom and sisters in Ohio. And it's actually recorded in Ohio, which was super fun because she had literal people from her high school in the room and she interacts with them a little bit. And then visiting her father in Florida and stories about raccoons, which is a classic Florida tale. And then how she navigates life as kind of a single woman, which I really loved. And it's so dry, but it's full of lots of sneaky daggers that get you kind of right in the side. And I think it's a fun 1 hour hang. So those are my green lights.
My green light is a documentary, a short documentary on HBO Max. It's called BS High, and it's the story of Bishop Sycamore. And like, this was an insane watch because I remember reading about this team, but I really didn't do more than that. So I really didn't have a ton of context. I just knew it was probably a fake school because that was the story. And all that broke because they were a high school, you know, they'll do these high school football showcases. So you'll see some of the usual suspects. Every now and then you'll see an up-and-coming school. And Bishop Sycamore was presented like an up-and-coming school, and they played IMG Academy, which, if you know anything about high school football, is like the super Alabama of high school football. And IMG Academy absolutely boat raced them in a way that almost got like some of these players seriously hurt because they were so fake and unorganized at playing football. Right. And that's what really got people onto what's happening with Bishop Sycamore. The doc itself really centers around the main organizer of the sarcastic air quotes school, Roy Johnson, who he is, and that's what makes this documentary so good, is he's kind of the focus of it, and he is a con man straight out of like central casting. He is the con man you're looking for. He acts like it. There's a duplicity with his commentary and conversation and the footage that they show that is so well done. And I like sometimes documentaries feel like they get too enchanted with the con man, or sometimes it feels like they will resist engaging with it and also kind of resist acknowledging to the audience, like, this is a very charismatic, magnetic person. So I understand why this happened. This documentary does both. It will let you let him charm you, but then it will also like cut to a complete lie or something where like it's always balancing. There's a reason that this worked, but there's a reason that this guy is not to be trusted as well. And I thought that was, it was kind of really deft handling, but it also kind of opens the curtain on the duplicity of high school athletics and the quote commitment to the kids versus everyone trying to get rich and get like status and get elevated as quickly as they can. So it was a real eye opener for someone who even kind of pays attention. There was a lot of illuminating things for me to.
I want to watch it because I just looked it up. It's on Max and it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's incredible. It's so really, really incredible. Okay. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And for your memory time, you're doing shopping on Amazon. Make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So your purchase user or affiliate link, your favorite item purchase using that link this week was Jamie. This is a book. It's called All the Way (Hot Jocks Book 2 of 9).
Listen, I love when you put out a book and you're like, there will be none of these B words.
That's we're right. coming Buckle for up. You.
So this is a book by Kendall Ryan. Just let me do the quick, like, what it's about. If Becca ever wants to find the one, it's time for her to take charge, which is why asking her best friend, hockey stud Owen Parrish, is really her only option. He's the king of hookups, and with his help, this won't be nearly as hard. Cut to you. Owen saying, I've never been this hard in my whole life. My friend Becca wants my help with scoring. It's something I excel at, so it shouldn't be a problem, right? Hi, Jinx and Sue, and there is sexy time. This is 4.4 stars with 4,000 ratings.
Listen, you might have heard that and been like, that doesn't sound like Faulkner or Hemingway. You know what? Doesn't matter. That's not what they're trying to do, bro. They're trying to get you to a place and a vibe. And I think mission accomplished.
That's right. Sometimes you're just trying to get through the basics to get to the stupid. Anyway, I will say SMO did not like this book. They gave it 1 star. They said, honestly, lamest book ever. Of what? All books in the history of books, lamest book ever. No story, poor dialogue, mediocre characters. Even the sex scenes are meh.
God,
what a huge waste of time. It was 190 pages. You're fine. You're fine, SMO. All right, you guys. Don't forget that our merch has launched. We would love for you to be sporting some of our fun t-shirts or long sleeve shirts or sweatshirts or pins or stickers all season long. So remember, this is a timed release. So you only have until November 1st to place your order. And if you're a BFOTS, you've received a code for 20% off. And if you become a BFOTS, you will get a code for 20% off. And you can go to knoxandjamie.com/shop. to get all the goodness. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.